Well, hello everybody. Hello, Mount Chapel. I was driving here. I was thinking, I'm sure I've probably spoken here more than anywhere else. And it's amazing. So thank you for inviting me back. My wife is somewhere out there, and I hope she can join us at some point. Actually, I was just going to grab one of these just to let you know about this, because I'm not sure I've been here since we did this. I'm not sure. Maybe I have. Maybe I've not. Well, my wife and I are part of a ministry here in Manchester called Prayer Storm, and we've been doing that since 2009, and we stepped out in 2014 to set it up as a charity, and it's been amazing all the things God has been doing through and with us. So earlier this year, we released this album called We Declare War, and it's kind of prayer, worship, warfare, intimacy with God, all of that put together. So just want to encourage you to check it out. We've just brought a few with us if you wanted to have a look or wanted to get some. They're £10. And we've been receiving some incredibly encouraging testimonies from these. There's a track on here called We Arise, and it's just a prayer track, declarations. And not too long ago, I got a message from someone who said, someone in America involved in prison ministry, and they said when they heard the prayers on this, they've been praying that every time they go into prison. And they're just seeing God do incredible things with not just salvations, but people getting healed and prison guards and things just happening. And they felt like it was connected to them praying that every time they went in, just taking charge of the atmosphere and releasing declarations. And there's another prayer on there called Big Ben as well, which is connected to the, you know, the Big Ben thingy in London. But yeah, so to encourage you to check it out. Who would like this copy? Yes. Well, you're the first to raise up your hand, so you're going to have it. Thank you very much. You know, I know we just prayed, but I am just going to spend a few moments just to pray. If you'd like to just close your eyes right now and just turn your affections towards the Lord right now, let's just lean into His presence some more. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are already here. I thank You that You're moving in this church. I thank You that You're speaking in this place. Father, I thank You for Your spirit of wisdom and revelation. We just thank You for the work that You are doing here. And even right now in this meeting, we come in alignment with Your agenda. We come in alignment with Your purpose in this season for Mount Chapel. Father, we just give You praise. We give You praise, honor You. Father, I thank You for a spirit of freedom in this atmosphere, Father, that breaks the yoke and sets the captives free. I thank You for Paul and his wife. I thank You for the leaders, the elders of this church. I thank You for the grace that You've already been releasing on them in this season, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit. You know, as I was just worshiping before with you, I just felt Paul and, is this Simo? Simo, yeah, I don't know. Where is he? He's gone out. I might hold on to what I'm about to say then, until he comes back. Okay. Well, I feel like, you know, God just stirred my heart for something to say to him and his wife, and just connected to what God's doing here. So once he comes back, I'll be stepping into that. Well, I've got a word I'd like to share with you today. And I want to preface what I'm about to say by saying, at the end of this word, you're probably not going to be jumping up and down, shouting, yes, God, excited. But I am convinced that this word would equip you to be a more effective Christian and a more impactful Christian and able to step out in what God has called you to do. Now, I'm not a pastor, so the way this may come out would be strong. So just brace yourselves. It's all I'm about to just brace yourself, because, you know, as I was praying about what to bring, this is what came to my heart. And I really feel it's a challenging word, but it's a word that prepares us and causes us to have the right perspective on the activity of God in our lives. I've been a Christian since I was, I don't know when, my early teens, you know, grew up in a Christian family, and I've grown up in the church most of my life. So I've been around, you know, quite a while around church. And I know most times in church we like the words that make us feel good and, you know, lovey-dovey and just, you know, and that has its place. But there's some times where God speaks some things into our lives for the purpose of calling us up higher. And I love things that call me up higher. I love spending time with people that challenge me. You know, it's always good to have people around you that challenge you in your faith. I mean, that cause you to be more hungry for God, that cause you to want to share your faith more, that cause you to want to pray more. If all you do is hang around people that drain you or make you want to turn towards the world, you're never going to grow. See, I'm a musician, and I realize I don't play as much as I used to, but one thing I realized as a musician is to be a better musician, you hang around musicians that love better than you. Because they challenge you to play better, they challenge you to do things better, to be better at what you do in the natural sense of things. You have to hang around people that are better. So what is it about us Christians sometimes where we tend to stare away from people who seem to be on fire for God? Oh, maybe you feel so convicted by how they live, or you feel challenged in a way like you don't want to face that challenge. I want to say to you, there's no other way you're going to grow. But actually, there's no other way you're going to grow apart from being challenged and taking that challenge and allowing it to change you on the inside. I'm going to read a famous scripture. Most of you will know this if you've been in church for any length of time. I'm going to start here to just lay a foundation for what I'm going to share today. This is Matthew 16, verse 18. And this is the words that the Lord spoke to Peter. And the context is Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they all had these different things to say. And Peter then said, in verse 18. Actually, let's go to verse 16. Actually, let's go to verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or the prophets." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus Christ. And Pastor Paul has just walked in the room. So, before I share what I have on my heart, I wanted to just speak a word that was stirred in my heart as you were leading worship. And what came to my heart was, I felt like God wanted to just remind you of the vision that he gave you before you moved here. And he wants to remind you that you are called, and you are anointed, and you have been handpicked for this assignment. So walk in that boldness and walk in that confidence, and even that sense of identity, that you're not going to be like the other church, you're not going to be like that church down the road, nothing against them, or you're not going to be like the church over there, but you're going to be a unique expression of the kingdom. And it's connected to the walk that you have with God. There's a certain revelation and intimacy you have with God that almost God wants to allow that to be such a core thing in this congregation. And there is something God has placed on you that's going to be released through this church, and you have to stand in that calling with boldness, with such grace and boldness. Yes, you are a man of humility, but humility does not mean you're not going to be bold about what God has put on your heart. Because as you walk in that boldness, you're going to see that impact people around you. And you're going to see other people, in fact, even some of the youth in this place, some of the people that have been part of this congregation for some time, they will start to walk in what you're walking in right now. Because what God has placed in you is not just for you, it's like multi-generational. As I look across this church, it's a multi-generational church. And God has placed something on you that's going to transcend generations. Being able to relate to those who are older than you and who will glean from you as well, but also those who are coming up. And they're going to arise and be mighty warriors. Because you're a man of humility and grace. And God is saying, do not be shy, or do not shrink back, but arise as a mighty man of war. And I'm remembering the word in Joshua where it says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you are going to lead into the promised land, and you're going to cause there to be a shift, even with the culture that's been going on and accepted for so long. You're going to bring about a shift. You're going to bring about a fresh momentum and a fresh grace in this place. Now, the battle ahead of you is not going to be easy. It's like there's so much things that you're going to go through. But it's like God wants you to be confident in the fact that you and your wife are called to do this. And even though it's not easy, you are anointed to do this. In fact, the word I'm about to share probably connects to this as well. That it's not going to be easy, but you're anointed for such a time as this to lead this congregation and to do what God has called this congregation to achieve in the body of Christ in this region. Okay, amen to that. Now, yeah, you can clap if you want to clap. Amen to that. Every congregation has an assignment. When God looks at this region, He sees the church. He doesn't see Mount Chapel. Yeah, He does see Mount Chapel. He doesn't just see Lighthouse. He doesn't just see the church down the road. He sees the body of Christ. But there are different congregations within that body in this region. And each congregation has an assignment. Okay? Now, I imagine how God feels. Imagine how God feels when the assignment is given this congregation that's different to that congregation. However, I'm not saying this was happening here, I'm just giving an example. This congregation may start to feel insecure because we don't look like that congregation. Without realizing that we have a uniqueness, we don't have to look like that congregation. We're called to be different. Okay, I didn't plan to do this, but I'm going to do this right now. Is this keyboard on? Power at the front. Which side? Somebody help me. Okay, so these are chords I'm playing right now. I don't need this mic, actually. Okay, what makes a chord sound good is the fact that they're different notes, but the different notes have their unique identity. Okay, so that is a C chord. That is a C chord. I don't know if you can hear that, okay? Yeah, that's a C chord, which is made up of a C, an E, and a G, right? Okay, if you're a music student, that wouldn't make any sense to you. Just track with me for a second, or for a few moments. In that chord, you have different notes, okay? Now, the C note is very strong in its identity. The C note is not trying to be the E note. The E note is strong in its identity, and it's not trying to sound like the C note. And the G note is not trying to sound like either of all the others either. Now, what makes them sound good together is the fact that they're all strong in their own identity and they're rightly positioned next to one another. Are you with me? That's the picture of the church that God wants to build. In this region, each congregation has a unique identity. But if the E note is so insecure in itself, it's trying to be like the C note, it robs the whole body of the harmony that's meant to come out. Because God is into unity, not uniformity. We don't all have to sound the same and look the same and talk the same and pray the same and preach the same. However, we have to appreciate diversity and understand that within that diversity, we can have a greater expression of the body of Christ because we are all strong in our own individual identity. So I believe God is saying to Mount Chapel, embrace your identity. And don't try to be like anyone else. As you press into the presence of God, you will begin to be more clear about the identity God has called you as a church to bring. And you're going to bring a fresh flavor to the body of Christ in this region. And if you don't take your position as the church on the mountain, because that's prophetic, you're the church on the mountain. If you read carefully in Scripture, the mountains were very significant places for encounter. So this is the church on a mountaintop. Jesus prayed on the mountaintop. Moses had encounters on the mountaintop. Elijah often was on the mountaintop. The mountaintop are places of encounter. What that tells me is God is placing this church on this mountaintop as a place of encounter, a place that hosts the presence of God.
If you don't embrace your full identity, you would rob the body of Christ in this region of the full expression of what God wants to release. Is anyone alive today? Mount Chapel, I'm telling you, there's the grace of God on this place that the body of Christ in the greater Manchester region needs. Okay, so right now in the name of Jesus, I just break off any insecurity. I just break off every voice of condemnation. I just break off anything that has been a limitation on this congregation. And I just call you into your divine purpose, into your potential, what God has called you to do in this region, that you'll be able to fulfill that greater and better than it's ever been before. That in this season, you find the grace for momentum and acceleration in the purposes of God. In Jesus' name. Now, Jesus says here, he says to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." You may have heard this before, that the word church there is actually the Greek word ecclesia. And ecclesia is about a governing body, okay? Ecclesia is not what we think when we think church. When we think church, mostly we think we're coming together to have a nice meeting. We're coming together to hear someone sing a nice song and someone preach a nice message, and then we're going. We think of a congregation. Well, ecclesia is a ruling, it's like a governmental body, okay? It's kind of like, the best way I understand that word ecclesia is like when the Romans conquered a place, just for example, say the Romans conquered Manchester, okay? Now, and they wanted the culture of Manchester to look like Rome. What they will do is they'll send in a group of people called the ecclesia who infiltrate all the sectors of society and who represent in some way sectors of society, and they meet together to influence the culture of Manchester to make it look like the culture of Rome. So that's a governing body, ecclesia. So when God says, "I will build my ecclesia, I will build my governing body," we're not just coming to church to have a nice sing-along. And some of you probably come here because this is what you do every Sunday. It's more than that. Okay, when God looks at this region, his first point of call is the church. The people of God, and that's you and that's me. So we have to be aligned with God's agenda. We have to be aligned with God's purposes. Otherwise, we'll be doing things that actually out of his agenda, out of his purpose. We'll be doing our own thing, building our own thing, as opposed to letting him build his own thing through us. When God says he'll build his church, he's not talking about physical building. He's not talking about building a massive place. I mean, I was listening to someone recently and they were saying, you know, it's amazing today how, you know, we measure the size of the church by its sitting capacity. So how about we start measuring the church by standing capacity? Ephesians 6, having done all to stand. Stand, that way measuring the church by the amount of people in the church that are able to stand on their own feet as a Christian and not buckle under the pressure. Because in our generation today, I don't know what we call it, maybe it's cool Christianity or maybe it's hip Christianity or whatever, there is a pressure to always make everything look cool, flashy, nice, and just, we put a lot of emphasis on all the external things. Nice lights, a nice sound, a great worship leader, and everything looking all good on the outside. But we don't put enough emphasis on the things that heaven places emphasis on. A group of church leaders, church planters met. I heard about this from a friend of mine. I don't know where they met. A group of church planters from across the world met. Some church planters were from Africa, some countries, and some church planters were from the West. So they had some group discussions, and the group discussion was based on this question, you know, what are the qualities necessary for an effective and successful church planter, or effective and successful pastor of a church plant? Okay, so they're discussing what are the qualities necessary. Do you know what the Western church said? Their group were like, well, he needs to be a great communicator. He needs to be great on social media. He needs to be great on all these other things. You know what the churches in some of those developing parts of the world said? They said he needs to be really good at prayer and fasting. He needs to have planted a church. And when they say planted a church, they mean like a church of like 2 or 3 people, a shack, like just something. He needs to have gone out there on the field and done something. And it's amazing the contrast. Are you with me? Where in the West, we're so focused on great communication, great social media skills, and all this looking cool and hip and all that stuff. But really, there's not much going on in here. Okay? And God is not after things looking good on the outside. God is after things looking good on the inside, okay? And we can look good on the outside and there's nothing on the inside. In fact, many of us today in the church are going to nice churches, but there is not much spiritual activity going on. And we're just feeding our... It's amazing how we can go to church and have a nice church service and Holy Spirit has done... Like, we can have a nice church service and not even miss the fact that the Holy Spirit hasn't shown up. Because we're so used to doing things. Okay, I've so many songs, so many, so a sermon for so long. And we just go through those motions. And we get stuck in this religious activity. When God said He's going to build His church, He's building a company of people who are influencers. A company of people who are strong. Okay? You know, in Scripture, the Bible says, in our weakness, He's strong. You know that scripture where Paul was talking about the thorn in the flesh? He asked the Lord to take it away, and the Lord said, you know, it wasn't taken away, but in your weakness, you know the scripture I'm talking about in Corinthians? And many times I hear Christians, and even I've done this in the past, you know, almost use that as an excuse for weakness. And I want to remind you that what Paul was talking about was a thorn in the flesh, not a thorn in the spirit. He was talking about weakness in his... That's my alarm going off. Thanks, Becky. He was talking about a weakness in his flesh, not a weakness in his spirit. So the same Paul then says later in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. In other words, there is no, as a Christian, there is no excuse for spiritual weakness. You may be strong, you may be weak in your flesh, but you are not allowed, as a Christian, to be weak in spirit. You're called to be strong in spirit. But when I look across the church and the people I tend to meet, and even people in my life, and sometimes myself, many times we are more like spiritual weaklings, as opposed to spiritual warriors. I told you this wasn't going to feel good. Now listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, I will build my church. Everyone say, I will build my church. Now put on pause. And then Jesus said, or Paul says in Ephesians, Christ is the head of the church and we are the body. So He is the head and we are the body. And then He said, I will build my church. The news flash is this. Jesus is a bodybuilder. I started going to the gym a few days ago and my body hurts right now. And some muscles hurt right now. However, it's because I'm trying to build muscle. So I'm going through pain because I'm trying to build. Now, what is it about us in the West that we think because we're now Christians and we believe Jesus, that we're just supposed to sail through life and go through nothing? The gospel is not about having life easy. Read the apostles. Read the leaders of the church, what they went through. Read this scripture and you find that no one had it easy. What is it about the Western church? We just want comfort. And I think one of the pictures of the Western church is the Laodicean church. In Revelations, where we are rich, we have wealth, and we're blinded by our wealth, and all we're after is comfort. But in reality, we're naked, we're poor, we're miserable, we're blind. Because all we do is we just lean on comfort. We just gravitate towards comfort all the time. Jesus is not trying to get you comfortable. Now, Pastor Paul may not preach this, not because he doesn't want to preach this, because he's a pastor. I am not. I am going to tell you what I believe God is saying to you. He wants to build muscle in His body. Spiritual muscle. But that muscle is not going to come about just easily. To build that muscle, He's going to cause the body to lift some weights. And those weights are going to feel painful. But in the process of the pain, He's building His body. And you are the body. We are the body. It's not this building. It is us it's building. So this time next year, as a Christian, you should be stronger than you are right now. if you're really walking with God. So what that means is, instead of complaining about your life, oh God, my marriage, my job, my this. Now, don't get me wrong, we have an enemy that's out to get us, and we have all these things going in our lives. Instead of complaining about just trying to find some comfortable place, how about you use the situations that are coming against you, that you feel God is against you? Instead of complaining against God or complaining about the situation, how about you take those situations as an opportunity to grow some spiritual muscle? Okay, things are difficult. Well, who has it easy? No one has it. Well, maybe some people do. I don't know. I don't have it easy anyway, put it that way. I'm standing here preaching not because I've got my life easy. I've got battles I'm fighting. But you know the amazing thing? I've also got my battle scars. There are no such things as bloodless battles. And what qualifies me to say what I'm saying right now is because I have been through some things, probably not as much as some of you. But some of you, instead of going through, you're just complaining and just staying there, but not realizing you're meant to go through to come out. You're not meant to go through to just stay there. You come out, and that's what makes you stronger. That's what makes you bolder. That's what gives you authority. Now, in a sense, we all have authority in Christ, but you grow in your identity of the authority God's given you by going through and coming out. Many people are not going through and coming out. Many people are complaining as opposed to going through. So the church that God wants to build is a church that is strong in spirit. The strength of this church, Mount Chapel, is not based on anything external, but it's based on internal conditions of each of the people in this church. Are you hearing me? The strength of Mount Chapel is not based on how well Pastor Paul preaches or how well the worship set goes or how well anything else. It's based on the maturity and the strength of you, the people in the church. That is where the strength of this church lies. Most times in church, in the West especially, we always like to put the responsibility on the leaders to do everything for us. Preach me a nice message. Lead me in some great worship. Just do everything. Almost like outsourcing a lot of our spiritual development. And by the way, you don't come to church to just get a word from God. You come to church to get a confirmation of the word you've been getting when you're at home. So, the strength God's trying to build is not external, it's internal. And to build that internal strength, you're not going to have, it's kind of like, you know, you want to build muscle and you just go to the gym and look at the equipment and expect that by being at the gym and just looking at the equipment, all of a sudden you're going to build the muscle. Or you go to the gym just once in a month, lift some weights and do some treadmill stuff and expect that because you've done that once in a month exercise, you're going to be okay. Actually, spiritual maturity that God wants to build in the church, in Mount Chapel, is going to be realized in the consistent application of elementary things and not the occasional application of spectacular things. It's in the lifting the weight, the repetitiveness of that. The consistency builds maturity. It's easy for you to come to church today and say, well, James is going to be speaking. Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear a word from God. Now, I do that myself. I love hearing from God, and I love listening to people speak. However, I guarantee you, if Pastor Paul told you last night that you were speaking this morning, you won't probably watch football. Between last night and this morning, you won't watch football. You won't go and watch your favorite movie or the movie you've been waiting to watch. You won't just go out and do anything. Why is that? Because when you heard the word from Pastor Paul that you're speaking Sunday morning, what hits you is your spiritual responsibility. Now, that responsibility then drives you to want to seek God. Because you want to hear from God what he wants to say today. If you just found out last night you're going to be speaking this morning, I guarantee you, you're not going to go to the cinema. Because all of a sudden, you're taking on your spiritual responsibility. Now, you need to realize you already have that responsibility without him asking to speak on this platform. Are you hearing me this morning? As a school teacher, you have that responsibility to hear from God. As a pastor, you obviously do. as a bus driver, as a lawyer, as a whatever, as a nurse, someone working nursing home, wherever you are, you have that spiritual responsibility. Now, the sooner you realize you have that spiritual responsibility, the quicker you're going to start to want to invest yourself in building your spirit to be strong. Now, in the Western culture, it seems to me like we tend to like to outsource a lot. It's always the doctor's job to fix me as opposed to my responsibility to eat right and exercise. It's always the government's responsibility to fix everything that's wrong with society as opposed to me taking on my own responsibility as a good citizen and play my part in building a better society. It's always the pastor's job to preach me happy and make me feel good. It's always the worship leader's job to get me stirred up to worship God as opposed to me coming into the presence of God to praise and worship Him, whether the music is great or not. There's always someone else out there. But I'm here to say to you, it's you God is looking at. Mount Chapel is not this building. Mount Chapel is not Pastor Paul. Mount Chapel is you. And the more you are growing in your personal strength in God, the stronger this congregation becomes. The more you come and just listen to a nice message and just say amen and just go back home and complain about your problems as opposed to grow through them, the weaker, the more this church doesn't accelerate and move forward. The church is not one person. It's a collection of people. So God is calling you as a church to arise and be strong in strength. Now I'm going to read a couple of passages that connect to this whole theme of God building, Jesus being a bodybuilder, building muscle in his people. You know the parable of when the seeds were sown and how some seeds fell on the rock and some seeds fell on the thorns and some seeds fell on good soil in that parable? Well, Mark 4, verse 5, this one part of it says, some fell on a stony ground where it did not have as much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Now, in verse 16 of Mark 4, Jesus gives an interpretation of what that means. He says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now what strikes me in that is, Jesus is saying the seed of the word is planted, and the seed of the word, listen to this part of Mark 4:17. When tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Are you hearing me? Tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake. In other words, the words that God's planted in us attracts problems. But we think we hear the word and just feel good. However, the word attracts problems. The word attracts situations. Because the word that takes root is the word that bears fruit. And for most people, the word is not taking root. It's just sounding good. So when the trials come, we falter and fall. In the same way, Jesus heard the Father say, you're my son and I'm well pleased with you. And then the next thing the devil says, if you are the Son of God, do this. The word that the Lord spoke to Jesus after the Lord spoke it to him was then tested. So who would you think we're not going to be tested? Could it be that the situations you're going through right now could be a testing of the word that God is wanting to arise in you, but somehow you're crumbling under pressure because that word is not actually rooted that much in you? In fact, I've been sharing this word recently about just the disciples going through the storm, the different storms the disciples went through. One of the storms they went through was after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus came walking on the water, and they were struggling to get onto the other side. How many of you remember the story? Matthew 14. They're struggling to the other side. Listen, they're struggling for hours. Jesus had been praying on the Mount Chapel. Jesus came from Mount Chapel, the place of encounter, okay? And he came from the place of encounter, and now he's walking on the water. Okay, let me just backtrack because this is awesome. Before that happened, Jesus heard the news about John the Baptist being beheaded. You see, we think Jesus had it easy. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. If you hear the news that your cousin has been beheaded, you're not just going to ignore that. Jesus is trying to get away to get some rest. And then the crowds follow him. So he can't get any rest. So he ministered to the crowd. It's evening. Okay? Now, it's evening. He sends his disciples to go into the other side. And you know what he decides to do? He decides to go and sleep? No. He climbs up the mountain to the top of the mountain, and there he prays. After he's physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, trying to recover from the fact that his cousin has been beheaded, okay? He didn't go home and sleep. He went up the mountaintop to pray. Now, this is an amazing thing. You don't think about this. John the Baptist was never raised from the dead. I don't think Jesus prayed on that mountaintop without talking to the Father about John being killed. Because he was human just like us. He wept at the grave of, what's his name? Lazarus. Why would he not be concerned about the fact that John the Baptist was beheaded? He must have talked to the Father about that situation. However, John the Baptist was not raised from the dead. But guess what? Jesus is walking on the water. So Jesus comes from a place of encountering the presence of God. And this is what happens in the presence of God. The things that you think are big right now to you, maybe it's a marriage problem, maybe it's a financial problem, maybe it's a health problem. The things that you think are big to you, when you get into the presence of God, all of a sudden it looks like nothing. It looks so small. It looks too big to you right now because you've not really engaged with the presence. When you engage with the presence, you change. And because you change, the situation ends up changing. Sometimes God actually, you might come to God with this problem and God wants to talk about that thing over there. Which is what happened with Jesus where, I don't know what Jesus prayed on the mountaintop, but I'm just thinking of the fact that John the Baptist is beheaded. Jesus is having this encounter with God on the mountaintop. It comes up, he's walking on the water. He's walking on what his disciples are drowning in. He gets to them and they're struggling. They see him, they think he's a ghost, right? Now, they're in a storm. This is many Christians. Many Christians going through storms, but we don't, Jesus is on the water. Jesus represents the Word of God. We don't have the Word in our boat. We are going through situations and struggling, but the Word is not in the boat. Do you know how they go through that storm? By getting the Word in their boat. It was only when Jesus got into the boat, the storm ceased and they were immediately on the other side, according to John. For many Christians, we're going through situations and we are just complaining. We are just saying, God, why me? Why me? How about you turn your attention to spiritual things? How about you turn your attention to the Word? How about you let the Word work in you so that by the virtue of the fact that you've been through this situation, you come out a better person. See, I've been through some not so good things in my life, just like all of you in this place probably. Now, there's some horrible things I've been through. I will go through again. For what happened when I came out of it in me? Now, it didn't feel nice at all at the time. But when I came out on the other side, I was like, wow, I am a different person because I did not fail in that test. I struggled, but I did not fail. And God did something in me. And right now, I'm living today with what God did in me. No one can take that from me. And because of what God's done in me, I can then impact other people with the strength I gained through that situation. But how about if I just complained and just said, oh God, why me? Oh God, why me? Oh God, why me? And never actually learned what God wants me to learn. So I want to say to you, as opposed to just saying, God, why me? How about you start saying, God, what do you want to build in me through this? What spiritual muscle do you want to build in me? Do you want me to go deeper in the Word? Do you want me to go deeper in worship? Do you want me to just learn deeper things by intercession? How do you want me to build my spiritual muscle through this situation? I'm telling you, this word I'm sharing is easier preached than lived. Because when you walk out of those doors and everything is hitting you, all the financial pressure, all the pressure of relationships, all the pressure, oh, my daughter is doing this, and they're living this lifestyle that I don't agree with, and da-da-da. And all that stuff is hitting you. If you don't stay engaged with the presence of God, and you don't actively do it, it's just like your emotions just overwhelm you, and it's just easier to hear this than to live it. And I'm saying, what would it look like if all of us in this church right now would leave this place and just begin to ask God those questions? Lord, how do you want to build this church? What pain am I going through right now that actually is a way of you building some strength in me? And how can I get through this and come out better, not bitter? Lord, we're asking him those questions. If we would all do that as a church, when Pastor Paul comes to speak or comes to do what God's put us out to do, I'm telling you, there will be explosive, tangible strength in the atmosphere, because each believer is carrying their weight. It's not Pastor Paul's job to just do everything, do all the evangelism, do all the prayer, do everything. No, no. When you begin to build your spiritual stamina, you start to realize your spiritual responsibility. And because you realize your spiritual responsibility, when you come into a meeting like this, you add to what God's doing, not drain from what God's doing. Does that make any sense? Well, 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 I gotta say, I love you guys. I don't hate you. I'm saying this because I really do believe God wants to build an army. And there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is the pressure is going to keep increasing. You think you're having a hard time right now? The pressure is going to keep increasing on society, in the world. It's just the way things are as we build up to the coming of Christ. The pressure is going to keep increasing. So it's the time for you to learn how to be strong in yourself, because the pressure is not going to lessen on the society and the world. It's going to increase. And if you can't stand for Christ where things are right now, how are you going to stand for Christ in the days of the Antichrist? If right now you can't stand in this culture, how are you ever going to stand when the pressure is more? So this is the time to learn. This is the time to say, God, whatever you need to do. I love what Mike Bickle says. God, shock me now. Don't shock me then. When I stand before you on the day of judgment. Whatever I need to change in my lifestyle for the purpose of being prepared for that day, Lord, tell me now. Let me change now. I don't want to be shocked on that day because I was just casual about my faith and just, you know, distracted and complacent and dull-hearted. Lord, I want to be ready for what you want to do in my generation. So I guess the essence of what I'm trying to say is God wants to build a strong church. God is not after building a weak church. Jesus is a bodybuilder. And to build that muscle, we're going to go through some pain. I know that doesn't sound great. Maybe you're going through some pain right now. I want to say, don't complain. Don't complain about the pain. Ask him for the grace to grow stronger through the pain. Because I'm telling you, if you do that, it may not feel good, but when you come out on the other side, because of what you've been through, you would be a voice of encouragement to other people, and you build a strength within you. Now, also, I need to add on to what I've just said by saying, I am not saying every pain in your life has come from God. Lots of things I've been through, they not come from God. But you know what the Bible says? What the enemy meant for evil, God turns it around. And he turns it around because while I'm in it, I'm able to go through it with the right heart and right perspective. So what, just like Joseph, what his brothers meant for evil, because Joseph went through that with the right heart and right perspective, God turned it around for good. In the same way, there are things that come at us from the enemy, and God allows them, and sometimes it's the enemy is throwing these things at us, and when we go through those things with the right heart, and we learn the lessons we need to learn in terms of faith, prayer, spiritual maturity, whatever it is that God is wanting to build in us, when we come out the other side, what the enemy is meant for evil, God turns it around and uses it for his good, to the glory of his name. In our churches in the West today, it's all about, right, I'm not saying it's all about, but there's a lot of things out there, 10 steps to be successful, 10 steps to this, 5 steps to this, 5 steps to this, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, I don't know about all that stuff. I just know that God wants to build a church that knows him, that's strong in spirit, that's effective in society. And that's not going to come by going through nothing. That's going to come because you will be strong in your own faith. Well, I hope what I've said makes sense to you this morning, because I'm done. Do you understand with me? Again, I'm just reminded of that word I was speaking over Pastor Paul and his wife, the word about be strong and courageous. I feel like for some people in here, you're just weighed down with discouragement. And that discouragement, it's paralyzed you spiritually, and you're not even able to get back up. And you're just way down, discouraging circumstances. In fact, what I see right now is some of you have been praying for certain things, and you haven't seen them happen. And you also feel not just discouraged, but disappointed at God. Like, God, why haven't you done this? I'm sure you said you were going to do this, and you said you were going to do that, and you said you were going to... And I just feel like God's saying to you, be strong and courageous. Don't allow the disappointments to paralyze you. Right there in the middle of your emotional stress and strain, God is there. Even though you don't feel Him, I'm telling you, He is there. And I believe He's saying to you, give me the disappointment. Just give it to me. You know, it's kind of like just casting all those burdens and saying, God, I don't really understand what's going on, but I'm giving this to you. And I know you're a good God, so I know you're for me, you're with me, you empower me through this. I'm telling you, there's someone here today. Let go of the disappointment. There's another person here who you're disappointed, not just at God, but you're disappointed at yourself for your own failure and how you've kind of let God down in some ways. And God is like, give that to me as well. Okay? Stop fixing your eyes on you. Fix your eyes on me. I am the one that empowers your spirit. I'm the one that gives you strength. Let go of the disappointment. Let go of the discouragement. And you'll find a greater joy in going through the trials and the tribulations because your eyes are fixed on me. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just pray over this congregation where there is the weight and pressures of life, whether it's finances, relationships, or health issues, wherever the pressures are, where there's been discouragement coming in and where there's been disappointment coming in. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we break it off. By the way, if you'd like to just lift your hands as a form of response, as I just pray right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we break off the spirit of discouragement over this congregation right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of disappointment that's like God is arrows stuck in the hearts of this church or people in this place, right now we pull out those arrows of disappointment, those wounds, those pain, right now, the pain right now, in Jesus' name, we just declare a healing to the wound. We remove the disappointment and the discouragement. Father, we declare your word that you said to Joshua. And I speak that over this church right now. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Father, right now, the spirit of bravery, spiritual bravery, let it arise over everyone in this place that's engaging what you're saying right now. And let the weights fall off in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the grace to go through. The grace to go through. I thank you for the grace that causes us not to buckle under the pressure of life. So right now in Jesus' name, we just release strength. We just release faith that there's an increase of faith and strength arising in this congregation. I thank you, Father, that you've called us not to be people who just give up when things are hard, but you've called us to be more than conquerors. More than conquerors. I declare that over you, that you are more than a conqueror. And that means you are going to conquer. That means you are going to overcome. You are an overcomer. That's what God calls you. You overcome. So I just declare that right now. I just see like some of you just weak and just tired, just on the floor, almost like just panting spiritually out of breath. And I feel like God's just coming next to you saying, get up. Get up, get up, arise, arise, mighty warrior. Do not give up. There's too much at stake in your family for you to give up at this time. There's too much at stake in your community for you to give up at this time. Do not give up. Arise, mighty warrior. Arise. By the way, I'm speaking that to you as the Lord is saying it to someone here. Arise, mighty warrior. Pick up your weapons. Put on your full armor and do not be held back and do not be held down. This is the time to wake up. This is the time to arise, and there's much to gain. There's much land, there's much territory to gain for God. You cannot afford to be down right now. Arise, mighty warrior. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is with you. The Lord is your strength. He is your strength. He is your shield. He is your fortress. He is your rock. He said He will never leave you nor forsake you. So why are you afraid? Why are you ashamed? Why do you feel alone? He said He is with you until the end of the age. He will never leave you. So right now, I speak to your spirit. I say, arise, mighty warrior. There's someone in here struggling with depression. depression. Right now in Jesus' name, we take authority over every spirit of depression and oppression, emotional stress. Right now in Jesus' name, we just release the peace of God, and the joy of the Lord becomes your strength right now. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for grace and infusion of strength arising in Mount Chapel, Father. And truly, Father, I just declare this word, that this will truly be the church on the top of a mountain, the place of encounter, that as people come in here, they encounter you, and they live different. They walk on the water. They walk on the impossible situations with just grace and strength. Thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you, church.